Bible readings from Proverbs 3. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. For she is more profitable than silver and yields better than returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and those who hold her fast will be blessed. By wisdom the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge the watery depths were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. My son, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment in discretion. They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. They will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked. For the Lord will be at your side and will keep your foot from being snared. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Heather. Do keep that open. As Tom said, a really good way of putting it, my job now is to help us all to hear what God is saying. Let's pray together as we do that. Lord our God, we do as we've sung and as we pray each day. Lord, we long to hear your voice. And so, Lord, we thank you for your word that's been read to us. By your Spirit, grant us insight now. Through the words that I've prepared, through all that we think about as we listen, and for our conversations over coffee, over lunch, and the rest of this week, would you continue to teach us and shape us? So, Lord, would you speak to us now by your Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. So it's great at the beginning to find out quite how many of us are involved in education in some sort of way. In fact, I'm pretty sure that everybody here was educated in some sort of way. If you weren't educated formally, you will have had people who have influenced you. You will have had books you've read or films you've watched or radio stations you listen to. And as we change the way that we think. In fact, if you think about it, the very words that we use to define things, to understand things, to refer to different things, to express a relationship with something, they've all been taught to us. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to look a little bit into Proverbs chapter 3. And as we look at this, it's going to be in one sense an ordinary sermon, but I've come to it with a very particular question. And that is really, what is the point of education? Some of you might be looking ahead to the longest term. I think one of the half terms this year is going to be 9 weeks long. That is a killer. I'm thinking, yeah, what is the point of education? I always end up feeling that, particularly towards the end of Christmas term, when sort of most days seem to involve the kids watching a movie. What's the point of education? Perhaps you're a teacher, and you've been doing it for 30 years, and your students got some results just a couple of weeks ago, and you're thinking, what is the point of education? Some people will be heading off to university from our church. And so one of the questions is, what's the point of education? Some of us will be looking ahead to choices that we are going to make for our children, the path we're going to set them on. And we'll say, what's the point of education? And I'm going to look. I mean, I was actually going to do something all about truth, and then Tom dissuaded me, really, and said, you know what would be a lot more helpful would be if we really began thinking about wisdom. So we began looking at Proverbs in chapter 3. And it really does give us a lot of insights into what is the purpose of learning anything? What's the purpose of education? And it's that it's not the imparting of information. It'd be so easy to think, what's the job of the teacher when they get up the front of the maths class? It is to impart information. You know, I know some maths. You don't know some maths. Let me teach you. In fact, that could easily be the attitude of any preacher, that what we're doing here is we are the, you know, I went and spent far too long studying at university with lots of long words and books with terrible footnotes. And here I'm just going to impart a bite-sized chunk of information for you to go away with. And then maybe afterwards over lunch, someone say, oh, that was quite interesting today. Yeah, it was interesting. I'd never seen it quite like that. And that's the end of the conversation. Well, that doesn't seem very worthwhile. And whilst there might be lessons, or there might be processes where actually you've just got to learn stuff, the point of education is not just merely the imparting of information, but it's about the formation of character. It's about the shaping of who we are. It's why, in fact, when you look at choosing a school for your children, or a university, or a course you might do, or a church you might join, you don't just want to ask, you know, what the results are, or how good are the teachers in terms of the letters after their name or the books they've published. You want to look at the sort of people that are produced by that kind of education. You see, I think many of us, and maybe this was you, when your children were younger, we tend to just sort of get involved and do the same as everybody else does. What you do is, about the age of 3 or 4, the children start going to preschool, getting ready for school, and then they go to the local school. And maybe there's a choice of 1 or 2, but that's what everybody does. And actually what happens is then they go from that school to the next school, they do the next school, the next set of exams. They've got to get the next set of exams. They've got to get these results so they can get their place at university or at college or whatever they're going to do. And suddenly what we found as a society is a whole bunch of people are coming out of tertiary education, aged about 21, wondering what on earth they're going to do. In fact, one of his teachers from school said to Harold Macmillan, a future prime minister, as he was leaving school, he said, the main purpose of education is to tell whether or not somebody is speaking rot. That is basically what he was saying was, go and learn some skills, go and get some understanding of the world, so that you can see through all the rubbish that people talk. And in fact, if you turn on the TV, or you go on Twitter or Facebook, you might well think we've got a problem with our education system. Can we see through? Can we argue well? Can we reason well? You see, it's not merely about the imparting of information, like just knowing stuff is going to be enough. But it's about the formation of character. Tony Blair did a very famous speech where he said, let me tell you what my 3 priorities are. Education, education, education. One person put it like this. Education is the silver bullet that will deal with crime and poverty. Well, is that true? And what kind of education are we meaning? Is it the imparting information? Or is it the formation of character? You see, just knowing something or knowing how to do something doesn't tell you how you should use that information or that skill. But also the other thing that we learn from the book of Proverbs is that the purpose of education is not just training to usefulness. Yeah, that's a very kind of utilitarian kind of, you know, you can imagine someone sitting in some government office going, we've got a real problem, we can't recruit enough engineers, so you know what we're going to do, we're going to put more money into engineering education in this country so that we get more engineers. Now that might be a sound economic plan. But if the only purpose of the 14 years that your average citizen in this country spends at school is to make sure that they're useful, they can do a useful task, well, we've kind of missed the point. It's not merely about your usefulness. It's about the development of wisdom. And wisdom is not just knowing stuff, but it's right living. It's knowledge put into practice. And so the book of Proverbs focuses entirely on wisdom. It tells us more and more about wisdom. And in fact, one thing we need to be really aware of as a church family and as those who are parts of many other families is that the education of the young is the responsibility of the family. The education of the church is the responsibility of the church family. The education of children is the responsibility of parents. Now, many of us, we delegate part of that role to school teachers, and they've been trained to do it, and there are many good reasons for doing that, particularly if we don't feel that we're able to. Some people decide not to. But even if we do send our children to the local school, that doesn't mean that parents are sort of let off the hook in terms of their responsibility. But the other thing that comes up time and time again in the book of Proverbs, this book right in the middle of the Bible that's all about a wisdom, that in fact is probably a training manual for a school, for young men with a future, and is that time and time again, the words of Proverbs are not directed to a teacher, but actually to the pupil. So we heard that in our reading today. Did you catch that? Verse 11, verse 21, my son, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. But it also comes in verse 11, it also comes in verse 1 of chapter 3. Time and time again, the responsibility of education is on the person being educated as much as on those doing the educating. You see, it's up to each one of us. And that doesn't matter whether we're 4, 14, 44, or 94. All of us are called to follow wisdom, to chase wisdom, to seek wisdom. We're told to listen. And there'll never be a time where we don't need to listen to direction, guidance. And in fact, that's one of the things we do in church. That's why, at the heart of our gatherings, whether it's here on a Sunday, whether it's in life groups during the week, is study and learning. It's why we have somebody who is trained and has worked hard preparing what they're going to say. And it's why each one of us need to come with the right heart. It's why the hymn before the reading today was us asking God to teach our hearts. You see, sometimes you'll leave church and say, that was rubbish. That didn't make any difference to me today. And it might be the fault of the preacher. But it might be our fault too. It might be that we went with a hard heart or not willing to listen. It might be that we went in a bit of a grump that morning, or it might be that we got too distracted by our mobile phone during the sermon. Each one of us has a responsibility, and that's the thing that comes up time and time again. But I want to now turn to this passage. So in Proverbs chapter 3, it's on page 637 in the Bible. And I've got 4 points I want to make as we go through this. And they take us through the passage, beginning at verse 13. Now, as we look at each one of these, I want you to think more generally what this might mean for each one of us, and particularly for the many of us that are involved in education or supporting people in education, how it might work in formal education too. But I think the first thing always is to listen to God's word directed to us. Verse 13, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. Now, there's a point in a relationship where the woman is hoping for a bit of gold. Normally the couple have been together for a little while, or maybe she wants silver or platinum. You know, I don't think that necessarily the point here is that. But there's a certain point where there's a kind of investment. And then you see, as the aspiring suitor, you look at your bank balance and realize you have no money and think, I wonder if there's some novel and really lovely sentimental thing I can get that won't cost anything. But you're thinking, you know what? This is worth it. This is worth spending all the money I can. You know what? Because it's a down payment. It's a down payment on a life together. Why do I want to buy a ring? Why do I want to put my thought and effort into that? Because it's a down payment. And when you go down on one knee, apart from being a bit embarrassed by the passers-by and asking you to get back up again, but as you go down one knee and you hand open this gold, there's this moment of delight. There might be a few occasions, I apologize if anybody had a no in return to that question. But as you pop the question, there's this wonderful excitement. Gold is something always pretty appealing, isn't it? I mean, if somebody said, what would you like for Christmas? So I'd really like some gold, please. Just a gold bar, that'd be all right. That'd be pretty useful, wouldn't it? It's mostly inflation-proof. It's not going to be much affected by the weather. You can always go down cash converters if you hit hard times. Gold, what a great thing to have. Or maybe for you it's the sports car, or maybe for you it's that house you've always wanted. Maybe for you it's the outfit. But there are these physical things that we really want. And that's what the author of Proverbs begins with, is some of those desirable physical things. He says, look, you know you want all these things. You know, really hungry, you want the lovely meal. You know, you're in love and you're really hoping for that wedding ring. It's your birthday coming up and you're really hoping for the tickets to go and see that show. Well, all those physical things, they might be great, but wisdom is better. So my first point is this. Wisdom is what you really, really want. Verses 13 to 18. She's more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. Isn't that wonderful? Tree of life. All who hold her fast will be blessed. It's the way to blessing. One of the things that's really, so I listen to Audible. It's an audiobook app on my phone. I don't know if other people do it. Basically, it's a lot cheaper than buying CDs. But what's wonderful on there is that you can listen to anything. But you can also, on the store, it's the same on any of these kind of websites, you can see what the most popular books are. And the most popular books on Audible and Amazon, as I can see it, are either trashy fiction, sort of escapism, or self-help. People are so fascinated by self-help. There, and if you think about it, you go to the magazine racks in the newsagent. What is it that comes off on all the titles? How can I improve my life? How can I have that perfect relationship? How can I be amazing in bed? How can I get that body? How can I get that car? We have all these things that we kind of want, and we want to kind of get them, and we'd love some advice to how to get there. In fact, there are even shows with advice. I've referred to a couple of shows before, but there are shows about what you can eat. There are shows about how you can do up your home. There are shows even about how you can tidy up. We all want help and advice to try and make our life as wonderful as it can. We want that perfect relationship. We want that perfect life. Wisdom is the way there. Decide, actually, as you get more wise, that that sports car isn't really the only thing you desire. But actually, if you want something that's more precious than rubies or gold or gets a better return than gold, if you want to live a pleasant life, you know what you need? You need wisdom. Wisdom. Seek wisdom. Hunt wisdom, because wisdom is what you really, really want. Point two, look at verse 19 and 20. What is wisdom, you might ask? Okay, wisdom's what I really want. Sounds brilliant. If wisdom's all that, okay, what is it? Well, wisdom is found in God. Let's look at that. By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge, the watery depths were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. My second point is this. Wisdom is how God acts. I wonder if you've thought about that, about how God made the world. I mean, I've been asked that question. If I go and do Grilla Vicar in the primary schools or even the secondary schools, it's always kind of, how did God make the world? And there's all sorts of different answers to that. Do we go down a more scientific route? Do we look, actually, at the first book of the Bible, which is, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God formed things and made things and filled things. But how did he do it? What in God gave him the power and strength and weird idea for mountains? I mean, mountains are amazing, aren't they? Where did he come up with that idea? It was in God's wisdom. Where did he come up with the idea of friendship? It's in God's wisdom. Where did God come up with the idea of all, whatever it is that you most like in your life? Where did God come up with that idea? Well, it's his wisdom. See, God, in God is where we actually see what is truly right. And that's not just right thinking, but right doing. All that God does is wise. And it's by his understanding that he set the heavens in place. And see, God's wisdom is demonstrated in the world. And actually, if you're involved in any sort of academic study, particularly any sort of science that's looking at the world around, if you're involved in maths, where you're trying to understand the order of things, what are we trying to do? If you're involved in working with words and trying to understand how language works, well, who invented it? Well, it's the gods who made the mountains, who flung stars into space, and who spoke. You see, wisdom recognizes the connection between all the different things and realizes that things only really can be properly understood with reference to God. That's why Proverbs says time and time again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's understanding that God's on the throne and I'm not, that he's the one in charge, he's the one from whom all purpose and value and worth flows. And if we can somehow orient ourselves properly according to where God is, then we'll understand ourselves better, we'll understand the world around us, and we'll understand how to navigate this world. If only we can understand who God is, where he is, if we can give him his right place. That's why the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if wisdom and any sort of understanding of this world finds its root in God, it means that any sort of knowledge or study or understanding of things that rejects God is going to be a bit skewed. Doesn't mean it's going to be entirely wrong, but it's going to be a bit skewed. Almost like if you want a compass and you want to know where to go, you know, it points north. But if you put a compass next to a magnet, it kind of veers off. And saying, if you've got your heart right and you're looking at God and you've got the fear of the Lord, where you understand and recognize and acknowledge God and his place, then you kind of, you know, your compass will work. But if you don't, if there are other things, existence of the one who made you, well, everything else is going to be skewed. It doesn't mean it's going to be entirely wrong. You see, we are rational human beings made by a rational God. We can think in straight lines. We can think logically. We can understand cause and effect. And we've got these astonishing abilities to explore the world and see the connections between different things. But if all the time we're putting a barrier in between sacred things and religious and spiritual stuff and the kind of the more sort of secular or practical things, we're never going to understand them properly. You will never understand gravity properly if you don't understand God. You'll never understand what it really means for 2 + 2 = 4. If you don't acknowledge God. In fact, that is a big question for us who live in an increasingly secular society where our schools are in, and the government that in many ways sets the agenda of our schools is setting a very secular, God-denying agenda. You see, if we want to learn true things and learn them truly, we need to acknowledge God. And that's why we desperately need to pray. Not just for our young people going to schools or friends and church members working as teachers and support staff in schools. But we've got to pray for policymakers. We've got to pray for the people who write the national curriculum or write the textbooks. And we've got to pray that in every place, God will be at work through his people, where his word will be spoken by the power of the Spirit. This is a great phrase in the Book of Common Prayer service. The service has been used since 1662 that we did this morning. And it says, enlighten with thy spirit all places of education and learning, that the whole world may know the knowledge of God. Isn't that wonderful? That actually, if what you're doing is you're telling true things about God's world, if that's what you're teaching, whether it's in university or school, or whether it's just over the tea table, you're actually done that with reference to him. You see, education is all about this order. It's about understanding the order that God made the world. Because he didn't just do it randomly. You know, I sometimes think we can think of God rather like some sort of painter who's slightly lost it, you know, who's just sort of flicking paint everywhere and hoping it turns out good. Well, that's not what happened. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. Where's the moon? Exactly where God wants it. And the more that we understand why it is where it is, the more actually we understand God's world and therefore God himself. But on that, it's not just about knowing things, it's also about understanding the meaning. And this is where we need revelation. You see, we can do as much seeking and learning and studying as we can. But if we do it all like this and we're just learning all that we can, but we're not asking for God's input and God's direction, we will miss the point. You see, we need God to speak so that we understand the meaning. Why is the moon there? Not as a sort of like, how does it work gravitationally and what's it doing to the seas, but why has he done it? Well, actually, we know he put the moon there to give light at nighttime. Why? Well, because yet again, it reveals his care for his people. When the moon is bright, it's less dangerous to be out at night. There are animals and creatures that can learn their way by the moon or by the magnetic fields of the earth. Isn't it amazing what God has done? It reveals his care for the world. Then we go on to point three. And look down at verses 21 and 22. You see, wisdom is what you really, really want. And wisdom is truly found in God. So what should we do? We should seek and grasp wisdom. We saw it right at the beginning. It says, blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. Now, this isn't something that just happens naturally. It's not something that just as you get older, you will know more and understand more, that you'll just be wiser if you're 50 than if you're 20. That's not true. You've got to seek it. You've got to gain it. You've got to look for it. Let's read verses 21, 22. My son, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and discretion. They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. Do not let it out of your sight. Or you look back at verse 18. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. Again, I realize that we're focusing quite a lot on children, but I think it is quite helpful because often we can see it more clearly. So you know the child that's growing up, and actually you've set them an example, and okay, the example you set them isn't perfect, but they're going in the right direction. And they go off to secondary schools, and then they get in with a tough crowd. And this crowd of people, they don't respect their parents. They don't listen to the teachers. They're not interested in study or learning. They don't want to do their best. Well, you really begin to worry for them, don't you? Because the influences, there are so many different influences. And actually, you as a parent, you know your influence will change over the years. You know, I still listen to my dad's advice, but he doesn't have as much say over my life as he did when I was four. So what do we do about that? Well, actually, what we're told here is, remember, the responsibility is both sides. We can teach and model and train. I say hold fast to wisdom. So I wonder if you're a parent and you drive teenage children around, or you take your kids back to university, or you go and you babysit for the grandchildren and make tea, and then you've got this time. Once the kids are in bed, we have a glass of wine with your daughter-in-law. What's the point of that time? Well, surely it should be to help them towards wisdom. Imagine if the half-hour school run every day is a wisdom-imparting time. It's time of urging, not just, oh, let's run through your six times table, but it's a time where you talk about the meaning of life. You talk about what is right and what is wrong. You train. You go through the questions they're facing the day. You talk about being your own person, making your own decisions and standing firm against the majority. And what about that for that mum who's just frazzled and really appreciates you going down every couple of weeks to help with the kids, but, you know, is so easily just slipping into maybe drinking a bit too much, or the gossip at the school gate, or resentment of her husband who goes out to work and the exciting life he leads when she's stuck at home. Well, how do you use that time? Well, it might be to be sympathetic. It might be to give the hug. But wouldn't it be wonderful if it was a wisdom-imparting time? Where you're urging something. It's more precious than rubies. And you might be absolutely exhausted, but look, why don't I share with you what I learned in my Bible reading this morning? Wouldn't it be wonderful if it was wisdom imparting time? Wouldn't that be great? I mean, it's lovely after coffee to find out how things are. How was the holiday? What you've been up to? What's God been teaching you recently? Or when someone comes with a struggle, wouldn't it be wonderful if we're not just sympathetic to their struggle, but actually we help point them to Jesus in the midst of difficult times? Let me end point four by going to the last few verses, verses 23 to 26. And my final point is this: we should seek and grasp wisdom. Why? Because wisdom is worth it. At the beginning, we're told it's more profitable than silver, yields more than gold, it brings long life, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster, of the ruin that overtakes the wicked. For the Lord will be at your side and will keep your foot from being snared. You know what I realize? My six-year-old daughter now never learns what 7 times 8 is. You know what? It doesn't really matter. I mean, it matters, frankly, if she goes to become a maths teacher or she's some sort of engineer building bridges and she can't do basic math. Okay, I get that. But if she gains wisdom, she can sleep well. She can be safe in the arms of God. God will not let her stumble. You know, how much time do I spend trying to teach my children to read or trying to get them to put their shoes on in the morning or whatever it is? You know what? It doesn't matter if they go to school with their shoes on, if they're gaining wisdom. It's worth it. It's worth it. And in fact, it's rather like the prize at the end of the race, although it is part of a process and we gain over time. It's like saying, look, that's what you want. So what are you worrying about this stuff for? What are you worrying about this stuff for? And I think so much in our society, we're surrounded by so many people that say this is important. And it's just the same if you're an adult. There's so many people say, worry about your pension plan. What's going to happen? Or saying, you know, you've got to move to an area where the care homes are good because it's not going to be long. You know what? You know what's important? Go to a care home where people are going to point you to Jesus. And if you get dementia, where people are going to keep praying for you and loving you and supporting you and taking you on to church. Why? Because wisdom. Wisdom is what you need. Who needs a PhD? But we all need wisdom. It's worth it. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we do thank you for your truth. Thank you that when we learn anything about your world that is true, it points us to you. And so we do, Lord, pray for all places of education and learning, that you would enlighten them by your Spirit. Where even those who do not acknowledge you would still come to wonder at your world and perhaps begin to ask the questions. So we do pray, Lord, for all those Christians involved in schools, which could often be very hostile places to your good news. And yet we also, Lord, thank you for our local schools and the way in which we're able to come in there. But more than that, Lord, we pray for each one of us, whatever our age or stage, whatever our involvement with formal education, that we would always be seeking to learn. And not merely learn to fill our heads, but learn to direct our lives. Would you give us wisdom, we pray. Help us to seek it and to find it, to grasp it, to never let go. And Lord, we do this in the realization you are the King on the throne. Guide us, we pray. In your great wisdom. Amen.